a line jumped out from Joshua. It's Joshua 3:4, and it says that you've never been this way before. And I think that is so true for us as the church, as individuals and as the church and as this nation, that actually we've never been this way before. We've never been at this time and space in history. We've never been in this place where generations of generations have worshipped and prayed. We've never been this way before. We've never been on this date. We've never been on the 18th of June 2017, and we've never been this way before. And I think that's a word for us in this coming season, is that we're going to be living in a way that we've never been before. A new day is coming and a new way is coming, and it's a way that we've never been before. We've never been here. And this is what we see in this passage of Isaiah, that God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He's speaking and he is saying, like, see, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing in your day. And when I hear this for ourselves, of like, see, I am doing a new thing, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like quite excited. I quite like a new thing. I feel quite, oh, like a sense of release, that something new is coming, freedom is coming, something around the corner, something's gonna change. And I don't know about you, but we're in that time now in our nation where I want something to change. I want something new to spring up. And this is a promise, not just for the Jews, but this is a promise for us. See, behold, I am doing a new thing, and we need a new thing like never before. And I love this passage in Isaiah 14, because the Jews are being spoken to through the prophet Isaiah, and it's being spoken to that an exodus is coming, that something new is coming. But they want to look back and they want to go to a place of what a previous exodus looked like. They're like, oh, well, he's going to do it like he did it before. But God says, no, I'm doing a new thing. But before we look to the new thing, we need to remember who God is. So before they're led to this place of this new thing, he first says this. The prophet pulls them to a place of remembering who God is. He says this. He says, remember, for I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One. I am Israel's Creator. I am your King. So in a way, the Lord is saying, remember who I am. Don't just remember how the Exodus played out, but remember the character of the one who was behind the Exodus. Remember, I am the Lord God. I am the same one who told Moses to put that staff out in the first place. I am the same God who parted that sea. It's not the method or the mode of the Exodus, but it's the very character of the God who was behind it. And I think this is a prompting for us today, is that we need to remember who God is. I think, if I'm completely honest, I think not just this church, but our church in the nation has got a little bit sleepy and has got a little bit lethargic to the ways of the kingdom. Oh, we've been here before. Well, we're not in a Christian country anymore. And we can get in this place. And so what we've done is we've retreated and we've played dead. That's how I see it. I don't know how you see it. But God is causing us and calling us to remember who he is. Do you remember who he is on the day of your salvation? That God who saved you, who didn't just make you a little bit better, didn't say, oh, you bad person, here you go, bit of grace, but he raised you from the dead. You were dead when you met him, and he's given you life. This is the God we've got to remember, not the God where we think up clever programs and clever modes and methods, but we need to remember the very character of the one who took us from darkness into light. We need to remember the God who met our hearts of stone, that were so stony and hard with bitterness and offense and unforgiveness. And we met this God. We met this God who poured his Holy Spirit upon our lives that we might dare to know what it is to love, to truly love. Have you met him? I bet you have. Do we remember him? Do we speak of that? Or do we just want to retreat back and say, well, this is how it happened in the olden days. This is how the Exodus happened. No. We need to remember the one behind the Exodus. We need to remember the very character of God. He takes our ash-filled lives and make them one of beauty. This is the God we meet. This is the one who is saying, see, I am doing a new thing. So in today's reading, we're called to remember who he is, the character of him, the very God who reached down and said, son, daughter, get up. I'm pouring my spirit upon you. We meet that one. We meet this God. And then when we're in this place, we hear in today's reading, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. And the Jews, they wanted to go back and they wanted to retreat in this place. They wanted to just wait for it to all happen like it happened before. Or they want to retreat to a place of dwelling in almost dwelling in a place of negativity. Of like, why haven't the prophets spoken that over us? Why has this God not done this over us? Why are we persecuted? Why are we this? That we want to dwell in a place of negativity. So we're called to a place to remember our God's stories, remember our history with God, but it's not about remembering the mode and the method or what's happened, but it's remembering who he is. And I want to encourage us today not to fall into this trap of coming to a place where we say, oh, do you remember when we used to sing this song and the spirit used to fall? Oh, we need to start doing that again. We need to start singing those songs again. Oh, we haven't got preachers like we used to have. we start to go back to that place. Oh, that happened in that revival. So maybe if we just mimic what happened, we might get a touch of God. No, it's the very character of God behind all these moves. And I want to encourage us here today that when I was preparing this, and it sprung back in my mind this morning when I was in the prayer room, is that there's a sense of people who have retreated back to this place, and actually when you hear someone get up and say, see, the Lord is doing a new thing, there's something in you that goes, oh, no, I'm quite happy here, or we've been here before, I've been here before, where there was going to be a new thing and it never happened, where I had a prophet come and speak a word over me and it never happened. And there's a sense that some of us are retreated back, dwelling in the past, in this negativity of what it never happened and it never will. Or maybe you've played out a calling. So once upon a time, you stepped out in a calling and it played out, and now God is calling you again to come and serve his church, to come and pursue his call, to go with everything you have. But you say, no, because last time I got burnt out. Last time I was taken advantage of. Last time I just had no time for anything else. Last time. But God is saying over your calling, over your serving, over your gifting, see, I am doing a new thing. And he is doing a new thing in our hearts, in our church, and in our community. So we need to remember the character of God. We need to revisit our God stories, but we mustn't dwell in the mode and the method of those stories. So for Philippians 3:13, says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We need to leave it there, and we need to come forward with God. The very character of God that was there is springboarding us, giving us a little kick, giving us a little nudge. And he's saying, "I'm the same God here. I'm the same God who is calling you into a new thing." And we need to leave our hurts, our rejection, our pain behind, because there's a new day and there's a new way. So we need to pay attention. So as we leave this behind, the prophet then turns them to, we need to pay attention. See, or in other translations say, behold. So he says all these things. Remember, I am the God. I am the God who carried the Israelites through the sea. I am the same God, and I'm the same God now. But stop. See and behold. It's almost like a pause. And a behold, I love the word behold, because it says, don't look at the world around you. Behold. Hold the very one who is Christ in front of you. In Corinthians, it talks about holding up as a mirror. Christ. So everything that we behold, we become. And if we begin to just behold what's going on around us, we'll soon just become more and more. We'll prophesy into the doom and gloom of the world. But we need to behold Jesus. We need to look at the very character of the one who is there and is here in front of us. And he is a God who is calling us forward to a new thing. And he is doing something new in our day. He really is. And what I love about this scripture is that God says this. He says, I am doing a new thing. And he says this. That he is doing a new thing. He is pressing through. He is springing forward through the desert and through the wasteland. And what I love about this is that in a desert and a wasteland, there's no sign of life. That if you look to the physical things, you'll say, well, God's doing nothing. Nothing is happening. But God is saying, I am coming through that wasteland. I am pressing through that desert. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for this very thing. He says this in Matthew 16. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. We need to behold Christ before us because we need to interpret what he is doing. And sometimes it's unseen and we cannot see it. All we can see is a wasteland and a desert, but he is springing up and he is pushing through that wasteland and that desert. But we need to stop and we need to see what he is doing. And I think sometimes, I know I can do it, I get a little bit lazy. And I just start to look at the world around me and I start to interpret God, imprinting God on tragedies in the world of like, well, this is what he's doing because this is happening in the world. But actually, we need to interpret what he's doing from his very presence. What is he up to? What is he pressing through in this wasteland, in this desert? I love this way of a tribe. There's a certain tribe in a desert. So often in deserts, to find out where water is, you look for a cactus, apparently. I'm not Bear Grylls. I will not survive in the desert. But apparently, you look for a cactus or you look for signs of growth. So wherever you see a little flicker of green, that's where water will be. But this certain tribe don't have any signs of that. So they have to walk around and pick up the sand and taste it. And apparently, where water is, the sand has a different taste about it. I'm not about to join that tribe, I don't think. But this is where we need to be positioned as the church. When the world is saying nothing of revival, when it's saying nothing of an outbreak of the presence of God, that we need to be people who can taste the sand of his kingdom and say, it's coming. We need to dig here. This is where we need to go. So our little jollies, our little trips over to the Hope Centre last week and the week before, it wasn't just about seeing the epic kitchen hood, which was pretty epic. That oven hood was like this. I can't wait to make something on that. It wasn't just about seeing the walls and the building. It was about us going over there and tasting the sand. It was about us going over there and saying, this is what God's going to be up to. It's about us pressing into prayer. It's about pressing into his face, pressing into intimacy with our Father and saying, it's an unfinished building, but I know you're about to spring forward. I know you're about to do something. And this is something we've always said, that the Hope Centre is like a parable of our own hearts. If we can do it for that, you know, when people come in off the street, when people come in who are wastelands and deserts themselves, when they're displaying nothing of a hint of God on their life, that for what we're doing now, how we're praying and pressing in, is a training ground for how we're going to speak over those people coming in. Because they're going to reveal nothing but wasteland to us. They might swear in our faces, spit in our faces. I don't want to prophesy that too much. No one's going to serve. We're going to get some desert people come in. And we need to be able to stand before them in the presence of Jesus and say, see, a new day is coming. The Lord is about to do a new thing in your life. So we need to pray and we need to press in to what God is doing, because we're to be people, and for those of you who are here for Thy Kingdom Come, we're going to be welcoming people home. They're going to be coming in the doors, but we need to be a people who can see what the Lord is doing upon people's lives. Yeah? I don't know about you, but I had people who could see. I had people who would speak and would see in my life that this is, I was a desert, I was a wasteland when I popped into church one day. But someone said, you know what I see? That the Lord is doing something new. So do we want to be those people? Well, let's remember our God stories. Let's read the Word of God. This is the ultimate God's story. If you want to know the character of God and exactly what he can do, read your Bible, because you'll be amazed. I know when I read this, it just, my faith and my hope goes up. Like, if it happened in there, I'm going to do it in there. He heals blind people. I'm not always going to go around whacking mud on people's eyes like he did in the Bible, but I do go ahead and say he heals blind people. He heals people's hearts. He sets the captive free. And it's all here. But we also need to tell our own stories. Meet up for dinner. Get with your life group and just have a simple night of sharing your God history together, sharing your stories of what the Lord has done for you. Because sometimes we forget. And it's so dangerous to forget what God has done in our lives. Because when we remember, we say, he could do it again. He done it in me. He done it in you. He could do it again. And we need to stop retreating to the past. If you've been hurt, if you've been burnt out, if you say, oh, I just don't know if I can do it again, another church project, I've been here, something new is coming. You've never been here before. You've never been in this day before. And then we need to pay attention, not to the signs of the world or what the community might even say about us or what we might even say about ourselves. But what does the Lord say? What is he calling us to? Because it's about to spring forward. And I don't want any of us to be sleeping when that happens. I would hate to be woken up and say, Lydia, it's happened. No! You can physically sleep, by the way. Spiritually sleeping. We need to be alive. We need to be awake. Because the Lord is doing something. And we need every single one of us in the vine, who is Jesus Christ, to be at that door saying, welcome home. See, the Lord is doing something new in your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray and we're going to move into a time of worship and prayer. So I wonder, Martin, springing up, if you come and just lead us in some worship.